This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Jan did one of our best ever, okay? You know, you ranked way up there with such people as Nick Redfern.
Nick Redfern, yeah. Nick's way up there.
We haven't figured out where yet. I think he's on Mars. There. Let's continue here. Let's get back to the research. I think we've got Jan's views, and I know our listeners are going to be pro and con about it. We have forums at forum.thepowercast.com where you can indicate whether you feel MUFON's on the right track to pursue, as they say, a wider outreach in their conference to try something and some of the organizational issues we dealt with. Let's have your opinion about those things. And we know what's going to happen. I'll tell you something, Jan. We had on the show, four years ago now, Dr. David Jacobs. And he came out with one of his books about possible alien-human hybrids and hubrids and everything like that. So he had a problem, obviously, with the UFO abductee who was attacking him and his credibility and everything. And I've never seen such a polarized reaction to his show. And some said we were too kind to him. He said Chris was badgering him, Dr. Jacobs, towards the end of the show. And it's like people heard what they wanted to hear, and we were trying to be very balanced about the subject because there are people who have different viewpoints about abductions. And I think Chris and I regard the views of Dr. Jacobs as more very extreme in one end. That, you know, we're being taken over, and if we are being taken over, it doesn't matter. It's too late for us anyway, so. I mean, if you can believe the sort of silent invasion that's implied by this theory, well, all that means here is that there's probably no hope for humanity, which may be something we already can agree upon with all the crazy things that have been happening in recent years. But what this signifies is that these beings will one day take us over, or we will live and die and never know about the level of their control. Have I made you paranoid enough, listeners? Why worry about it? What me worry, like I say in Mad Magazine? But the point here is that you can see how polarized that was. Thousands of messages in our forums.
Oh, yeah. It blew up.
There are people who still hate me for viewpoints I don't even have.
Or to even people that hate you for even having Jacobs on the show.
It's right, exactly. And we've had some pretty controversial people. I didn't think he'd be one of them. But we had Michael Horn on a couple of times early in the history of the Paracast. We've had quite a few people that have viewpoints that a lot of us would not even accept. But we gave them their say, and then we told them what we thought. We had one guest who had a history of supposedly repurposing copyrighted material, and he made all sorts of claims about being quoted in newspapers, and when we tried to confirm it after about a half hour or an hour on the show, he hung up on us. A guy named Bill Nell. Anyone remember him?
Oh, yeah. Good old Bill Nell. I'm sure he'll show up again out of the ethers, our latest vampire. Will show up from the deep, damp earth.
So you can see where things get pretty polarized in this field. And even with the best of intentions, presenting someone that we know has something screwy to say, they're going to attack us. And therefore, in this field, it's hard sometimes to balance it, and we don't here in the Paracast. We could be very unpolitically correct, which is part of our reputation. We have this second show, as our listeners know, called After the Paracast, where we don't even have restrictions on language.
Yeah, oh boy. Yeah, that's I have fun sometimes, Jan. Sometimes.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah. Well, sometimes. I try to keep it, reasonable and, kind of a nice decorum, but sometimes it gets rather carried away. And that's fun. It's entertainment. Well,
how long have we known each other, Chris? We've known each other for years, right? I mean,
20. Let's see. I first spoke there in 98, so 19 years.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you
a
know,
long time.
And the connection we had was my wife, her parents both grew up in the San Luis Valley.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they met there. And
Alejandro Rojas, another one. He grew up in the San Luis Valley.
Really? Well, I didn't know that about him.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He still has relatives there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We do, too. Yeah.
Hey, Jay Widener, who I've known kind of sort of a loose associateship, if you will, over the years. Yeah, I'm talking to Jay one day, and he mentions his house in the San Luis Valley. I said, well, wait a minute. I didn't know you lived there. He goes, oh, yeah. I've had property there for quite a while, and I've got a house there and everything. And Robert Hastings moved to Villa Grove in the San Luis Valley.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I guess my work has had well, the real estate agents around Crestone really liked me in the late 90s.
I'll bet.
Because when those books came out, boy, everybody was coming in. And, of course, they never told me that I was, an unofficial bird dog for them. But it's a wonderful place, and I'm still considering, ways to try to get people to follow through with their promises on getting this camera project going up there. I think I'm just going to have to move there for 6 months and do it all myself or something. It's just, I'm just beating my head against a brick wall. We're going to have to come up with a budget and put these people under contract to do things. I'm beside myself trying to figure out how to do it. We almost get there so many times, and then the weather, the cold kicks in. And if you don't get it done by November, you're sunk. And it's just, I'm just so tired of this. We've had so many great events that we would have been able to get real scientific data from these events because it was right in our front row seat the camera project would have had. And it's just really extremely frustrating because I do really think that hotspot areas, it's my mantra, hotspot areas are where we should be concentrating our resources, our hardware, our expertise, our talent,
our instrumentation, absolutely.
Yeah, all the above, and especially instrumentation. And once we get to a position where we have four different types of monitoring, sets of monitoring information, you can write a scientific paper in any one of several disciplines, and that's going to be very, very difficult for academia and the scientific community to ignore. They'll try, but it's going to be difficult.
Well, but I think that's what's going to help create some breakthroughs in this thing. We had a case recently in the last year or so where the individual was able to get on videotape the pulsing from the engines of the craft, and through that determined that the particular craft that was seen in this particular case. Had counter-rotating electromagnets being pulsed at 123 hertz. Now, I've talked to physicists about that. They all kind of scoff at it. But somebody's able to levitate these craft without having any, other visible means of propulsion other than some kind of a field propulsion system. So that's where the breakthroughs will come from. And from a scientific standpoint, there's other people out there who, could care less about how the craft work, and they want to study the human side of things, or the sociological side of things. Who are these beings? Why are they here? How are we going to interact with them? Are we able to interact?
And that's all relevant. It's all relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
But scientists and academics are going to. This is the one thing that you have to prove is a reality, or there's something that exists before they will show an interest. If somebody came up with a 5% chance that they've come up with a cure of cancer, billions of dollars would be allocated to that. If there was a 5% chance that 5% of UFO sightings are true unknowns and worthy of study, we have to prove that to be the case before we can get any sort of acceptance from the mainstream.
Here's something else we have to prove, and we'll know about in just a moment with Gene, Chris, and Jan Harzan. You're in
Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
How did you become addicted?
A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
All right, let's go back again to the research that we're covering here. And Chris is talking, of course, about the work on the San Luis Valley Camera Project. But before we go on, Chris, as of today, we haven't heard from the other projects, UFO data and any of the other ones that were supposed to set up monitoring facilities, have we?
No news on the UFO data front. I haven't heard really
hiding her hair from Mark D'Antonio or Douglas Trumbull about where they're at with UFOTOG. Of course, we have Hasdellen. It's still chugging along and has been for 30-plus years. I haven't heard of any real new developments on that particular front. Again, as Jan pointed out earlier, we are at a point in history and in the development curve, in technological development curve, that we have access, and, you know, there's gear out there that's affordable that we can use and utilize as long as well-trained individuals, you know, dedicated to monitoring these this equipment. We have the ability, and we've ID'd, I think, the spots where this gear could be set up, and with some due diligence and people tasked with, you know, obviously doing the work properly, I think that this is the obvious step forward. And I know Jan agrees, because MUFON has been very, very supportive, enthusiastically supportive. And, you know, one very wonderful, you know, dedicated member of MUFON there in California has been extremely instrumental in all the progress that we've been able to make with our project. And, you know, we now have workable detect motion, record on motion, and triangulate to motion is now the project that Ron Ulrich is now engaged in, allowing multiple cameras to be involved in a tracking program. But we do have the software now, and it's been developed from the ground up, and it's very, very exciting and extremely frustrating that it's not operational.
Well, you know, and that's a good point, because Ron is just an incredible engineer.
I'll say
came out of the industry, and as you know from Wayne Hollaback and the days when you were involved with helping put that together, the big problem we had was being able to track these objects across the sky with a camera. And Ron solved that problem with some software that he had personally written, and I was able to meet with Ron not too long ago, and we actually got him some funding to put one of these cameras, a test camera, in a location. And if we get this to work, we may be able to get this funding to do it in other locations. So, but, you know, probably it just starts simple. Start in one location. There's no better location that I know of than the San Luis Valley to start monitoring. Because from what my wife's relatives tell me, they're seeing stuff all the time out there.
It's commonplace. And it's so common that it's part of their reality. And people don't think it's a big deal there. It just still blows my mind.
Yeah.
I use the example of the farmer that grabbed me in the supermarket and said, "Chris, oh, I'm glad I ran into you. Man, I meant to call you, but I know you're busy. I didn't want to bug you, but you should have seen the thing that landed in my back 40. And I'm like, "What? And you didn't call me because of why? Oh, I know you're busy. You know, I know you got so much going on, and I figured I'd run into you at some point. And it was like, because it landed in his back 40, it was a big deal. But when stuff flies by, people go, "Oh, there's another one."
You're right. They are very nonchalant. It's like, well, it's normal to have a flying saucer sitting on the roadway blocking your way.
You know? When you tell that to people, you know, Jim, they look at you like, "What are you, nuts? Get out of here." They think you're just making this stuff up. But I'm telling you, it's go ahead, move there for a while. You'll spend 6 months.
Well, you remember when John Schuessler was the executive director?
Of course. He was one of my first fans.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when he used to run all the symposiums up in Denver back in the day, and so I got to travel there quite a bit. And when we would go up there, we would have these family reunions from on my wife's side of the family, and we'd go sit with 25-30 people, and they would find, "You're here for a UFO conference. Well, let me tell you my story." I mean, literally, every one of them had their own UFO story.
Oh yeah.
I can remember her aunt saying, "Yeah, I was driving down the road one day, and all of a sudden there was this 100-foot saucer sitting on the roadway blocking me. I had to sit and wait till it left so I could continue on."
Uh-huh, I'm thinking, love it.
I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, it's like, really? Okay.
Imagine if that happened in freaking Costa Mesa.
Yeah, you would say, "Well, where was your camera, man? We need a camera in the picture." Yeah. So.
Well, that's what's good about the cell phone, technology now. You know, whatever the control mechanism that's behind these craft, they're keeping them a little further away from people now, because they know darn well if they get closer, someone's going to get a really good shot at some point, and it's inevitable. It's going to happen, I think.
I had kind of a theory here, which is you have this collection of UFO photos and movies, a lot of them on YouTube. And I'm kind of wondering here, because it's so easy to fake a photo these days, we have all the tools. We have smartphone cameras with 4K capability. And I'm thinking here, you know what? Some of those could be real, and they'd be there in plain sight, and you wouldn't recognize them because you're so overwhelmed with the fakes.
That's why someone like Ray Stanford is absolutely crucial, because he can look and find the little red flags that he knows are there that can instantly determine whether a photograph or a section of footage is real or not. And I really, really suggest, Jan, before we lose Ray, to get him speaking at MUFON. He is ready to go. I mean, he's already been presenting to scientists at Goddard, and he's about ready to pop right now. He's currently being featured in this month's National Geographic for his hobby, which is, his dinosaur track work.
Right.
I mean, how many people have you had at MUFON that have been in National Geographic?
Look, I know Ray very well. He's an outstanding investigator from many years ago and currently still doing investigations. I've actually invited him to speak, so I'd love to have him come talk.
Put the invitation through me this time instead of from a woman who made it sound like it was a local chapter of MUFON. And Ray's, you know, he doesn't get out enough, and he needs help, and that's why I do urge any sort of communication, official communication about gigs and that sort of thing to go through either myself or Ben and Tony.
Yeah.
Because Ray, he's just not used to it, you know. He's so wrapped up in his analytical work and his other work, and plus he's been having health issues. So,
right.
You know, he's getting up there. He's in his early 80s now, so we really need to jump on this. And supposedly I'm going to be going out there and videotaping all his presentations for posterity to get all this information down in case he checks off this mortal coil. But it would be great to get him to present at the next MUFON symposium because it's right down his alley. It's something that he would be, tag teaming with Ben Moss and Tony Angioli. I think we could actually twist his arm enough to get him to present. And he's been fine tuning his presentations now so that they're in manageable chunks.
Okay, well let's talk about it. I'm wide open for that.
Yeah, because, boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that know about Ray, and he'd put some butts in the seat. He would.
Yeah. No, he's great. I've read his books and the book, and I have great respect for Ray.
By the way, I did look him up online. It claims he's 79, but 79 is a new 60, so we shouldn't worry about that. We've got Jan Harzan and Chris O'Brien and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh, my gosh. That's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh, yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh, yeah. I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME 44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME 44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME 44 to 42424.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So maybe here we get Ray back on the Paracast. We could, you know, encourage him to do something.
Yeah. Well, he operates, I think, influencing Ray, and it's a process. You can't just, you know, kind of like put him on the spot publicly and say, Ray, you got to do this, because then he recoils. Knowing Ray as well as I do, and I've known him for quite a number of years now, and I've got his entire, you know, UFO life history all written down, unpublished, and it's going to be sitting there gathering dust until he gives me permission to publish it, which I can't wait to do. But there is a way to work with Ray and get him enthusiastically involved in a process, as opposed to kind of putting him on the spot. He doesn't respond well to that. So
yeah, I've spent many hours speaking with him on the phone, and you have to be very careful with him. So, but that said, I mean, he does some great information. I mean, my gosh, he was right on the ground floor of the Lonnie Zamora case.
Right.
So, I'll say. 64 or whatever happened, and just a phenomenal researcher. We'll lose a good one when he goes, but
yeah. Well, to have Kevin Randall acknowledge the really good job that he did on Socorro. I mean, Kevin doesn't really give compliments out very they're few and far between, and he did say that Ray did a really good job on that case, being a fairly young guy at the time. I mean, he was only in his 20s, so
right.
Yeah, and I do think that the theme of this coming symposium. Where is it going to be this year, by the way?
Well, in 2018, it'll be in Philadelphia. I'm almost thinking he'd be better on our 50th anniversary one in 2019, which will probably be back in Los Angeles.
Well, then you have the whole thing of travel. See, he could do Philly easy because it's a hop, skip, and a jump for him. He's very, very reluctant to fly now, so that would be something to factor in there.
There's Amtrak.
That's true.
Just teasing.
You could stick him on a tramp steamer through the Panama Canal.
We actually do have one of our members who won't fly, so they take the train everywhere.
Amtrak to Philadelphia is a pretty easy trick.
Ray would drive. I mean, come on. It's only a 2.5-hour drive for Ray from Berwyn Heights. I mean, come on. Philly's just up 95, you know?
Look, I'm open, so we should discuss that.
Very good. Very good. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, I'm glad we're setting the schedule. You know, I want to talk to you about this, Jan. As we see, Kevin Randall is doing something which I think is very commendable, which is to go back and look at older UFO cases and try to re-examine the evidence and see where things lie. So he came out with this book, Roswell in the 21st Century, where with the Roswell case, some of the things about it were not as certain as before, that he still feels something weird happened, but things like possible alien bodies, not so certain anymore about that because the evidence is just not there. He went back, of course, to Sicaro, and he came out with a lot of solid information, basically enhancing what we know about the case and also demolishing some of the skeptics who have tried to find ways to disprove it, especially pointing out that the head of Project Blue Book at the time made an extraordinary effort to disprove that case and tried to look for possible test aircraft, everything. Could not do it. Really tried.
And also the statements that Hynek made, that was the first time that he really started to have see a reversal in his thinking, was the 65 Socorro case.
Exactly. It was one of those compelling cases. And that's an interesting thing here we could think about with MUFON. We have one guy, Kevin Randall, going through all these old cases. Do you have the personnel to do something like that? You know, go through the most important cases of yesteryear, give them a second look, and see where they fit with the overall picture?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I was just on the phone with Roger Marsh yesterday, and we were talking about our January issue for the MUFON Journal. Now, this is not to the level you're talking, but one of the things we wanted to do was, you know, take the top 10 cases of all time and feature them in the journal, because there's so many great cases back there.
Oh, wow. That would be rough. That'd be tough to do.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you do that in 24 pages, but...
But just to determine what those cases are is what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know. You could probably come up with the first 5 or 6, and after that, you'd really have...
Right. It would be really up to personal opinion, I guess.
Well... Exactly. And then you get people arguing, was that the right 10, you know? Your question, Gene, is, you know, go back and look at these things. The answer is absolutely could. You need to put together a team of people, or maybe multiple teams of people, and give them each a case to go work on. The problem with a lot of these older cases is that the evidence is so old or no longer can be found that you have a hard time digging into it. So one thing I found about the UFO field is it's easy to discredit cases because it's just so strange what you see and what you hear, and people all want that physical piece of the craft or whatever it is, and even when people bring the physical piece of the craft, they still challenge it and say it's not so it's kind of a sign of the times. Is there a particular case you think we should go look at or go dig into?
I think any case that's considered an unknown that's gotten a lot of attention deserves a second look.
My three favorite cases, I mean, obviously Roswell's off top of everybody's list, but I thought Stan Friedman did a great job back 20, 30 years ago when he put together the movie Recollections of Roswell. And I think it was him. The voice is on the tape, sounds like Stan's voice. And he interviewed 30 firsthand and secondhand witnesses, you know, the children of the people who saw it and also the people who saw it. It was a pretty compelling case that something significant had happened down there. The other one I like is the ICBM, you know, cases where you know, military people in the bunkers who were hands on the controls to launch the missiles actually watched them go offline as the security people upstairs were telling them that there was craft over the base. I mean, that is extremely significant and documented in Air Force documents. So,
right, and we have cases as recently, I think, as what, 2009 or 10?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, this stuff continues to happen, you know. So there's somebody who's not happy with how we're playing with nuclear weapons, pointing them at each other, trying to blow each other up. I was wondering if North Korea ever launched an attack against the United States, who would knock the missile out of the sky first? Us or the...
I don't think if we are being visited by space visitors, though, that they even care. Maybe with nuclear weapons they might, but you have so many thousands of people dying around the world for one thing or another, and they're not doing anything about it.
Well, in their eyes, it may not be necessarily a bad thing because, you know, we are the most detrimental force on this planet.
Right.
And what may be of interest to the visitors, if that's what they are, is the amazing biodiversity and the wonderful web of life that we have here that we are putting in jeopardy with our very, progress.
But go back to the beginning of this broadcast where we were talking about the possibility that maybe these things are actually from here. They're not from out there. They're from here. And if this is actually their domain and we're messing it up by blowing off nuclear weapons, maybe that's not something they want to have happen. Who knows? I mean, who knows what the answer is? But it's interesting to think about and to know that this actually happened, because my understanding from talking to one of these individuals who was in that control room, 60 feet under the ground, but between four layers of concrete and steel, was that when an inquiry happened, because the general was upset that the missiles all went offline, that they didn't like the report that came back from Boeing, and they destroyed the report. Because essentially the report said, we can find nothing wrong with the systems here that would have caused them to go offline. So some external force, such as this thing that was seen, had to have been what affected it. Well, they didn't want to hear that. That wasn't what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear that somebody had made a mistake, switched a switch wrong or whatever, and turned these missiles off, you know. But...
Let's do our break. Final segment with Jan Harzan with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This just in, before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com, just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com, to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Speaking of old cases to look at, not so old cases,
Rendlesham.
Yes.
And I think partly in light of the issues with Larry Warren and his credibility, that's certainly one thing. And by the way, we've been in touch with a fellow named Andrew Pike, astrophysicist from the UK, who's written a new book with a new look on Rendlesham. Interesting new book that we're looking into, and he'll probably be on the next week or two. So it's important to take a new look even at that case. What's your take on all this, Jan?
Well, I try not to get mired in the fighting that goes on within that whole subject. I think Rendlesham is probably in my top five cases. I think there's enough data there and government papers that say this event really happened, and the people, the recordings that exist of the going out into the forest and seeing the object, that it's certainly worthy of further investigation. And this goes back to what we've known for years, which is that these craft are seen around military installations, nuclear power plants, and places where anti-gravity research is being done. And this is right up that alley. Many, many, many of our cases come to us through military channels. People who are in the military, a lot of times going through war exercises, and they'll see objects in the sky above the simulated battlefield, if you will. But as far as Bentwaters, I think it's definitely a case that could be looked into further and more in depth. Just as an aside, I had someone reach out to me and ask me if I could provide him with a video of that incident. And I looked long and hard, and there's not a lot of good people doing documentaries on that case. I think it could use a good documentary, my own feeling, much along the lines of what Stan did with this Recollections of Roswell piece that I think is just an outstanding piece of evidence that people can listen to and understand that something very significant happened there.
There is a dispute over some of Stan's stuff, like MJ-12.
Well, No, that's true, but that didn't have anything to do with this. This was strictly he went out to Roswell, and I don't know who all was part of that group when they did, and they interviewed the firsthand witnesses to the actual encounter. This is some 20, 30 years ago that they created this video, which is now a DVD.
Right. I saw the listing online, and I was going to ask you about that. What do you think about someone like Nick Redfern, who had this book, Body Snatchers in the Desert, and he specified it as something, an experiment gone wrong?
You know, I don't really know. I haven't read the book. I know Nick's into other areas besides UFOs. He's a great writer and a terrific friend to MUFON, and I don't have any comments specifically on that. I can't really say. I do have one thing I could put out there, which is a postulation, which is I had the opportunity to go down to New Mexico and visit some of these sites, the Roswell site, the Socorro site, some of these other reports of craft crashing back in the mid-40s through the, mid-60s. One of the things that struck me was it's all within close proximity, of course, to, Ground Zero, where the first nuclear bomb got set off, but also Los Alamos and all of the research laboratories down there, which back in the 40s had some of our top scientists, Wernher von Braun, who was captured and brought over from Germany, Oppenheimer, Einstein, Teller. I mean, these guys were all down there working on these top secret projects. One of the thoughts that struck me was, I wonder if a lot of these craft that crashed, and I'm just putting this out as a hypothesis, I mean, you'd have to do a lot more study in it, could have possibly been our own experiments on trying to back engineer these craft and get them to work, or maybe some kind of a time machine. Because the one case I'm thinking of where the craft all of a sudden appeared during an electrical storm and came flying out of the sky and crashed, and then little beings were seen on board the craft. But then the Army came in and said, this is a weather balloon, which is, I love that story. It's a weather balloon. It's a 30-foot saucer, hard metallic, but it's a weather balloon, and hauled it away. If maybe this was some of our own experimentation going on, it's just a thought. I don't know that that's the case or not the case, but it struck me that so many of these crashes and incidents happen all within a very small space and all in New Mexico, where we happen to just be doing all these top secret things at the time, including building the atomic bomb and the hydrogen bomb. Could it have been possibly something that these brilliant folks, the Tellers, the Oppenheimers, the Einsteins, you know, the Wernher von Brauns, that they maybe were conjuring up as part of their experimentation, bringing some of this technology even over from Germany as Germany collapsed? I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it's a possibility that someone should probably look into.
Well, Ron Reger, I mean, I must interject here. His presentation about the actual wreckage in the General Ramey photos is really compelling, because he makes a really good case that none of that wreckage really conforms with any parts list from any sort of balloon systems that were operational at the time. And instead of seeing a lot of string, which is what you would obviously see with a balloon train, there's not one strand of string, which would be probably the most prominent piece of evidence that would be left behind with some sort of Mogul balloon crash or, you know, the radio sonde balloon trains that they were using back at back then in the late 40s. And then he also points out that there are some very, very interesting symbols on some of these kind of I-beam looking thing pieces that are in the wreckage. I've also asked him to publish on social media his taking of the 4 and 5 different efforts to decipher the Ramey memo, and showing all the areas in which each of the independent groups of analysts all agree on wording. So when people say, oh, you can't read anything, it's beyond, you know, the point of resolution and all that, I disagree, because, you know, for instance, Fort Worth, Texas, everybody agrees that that's what it says. Victims of the crash is another one that several of the groups all came up with, all independent of one another.
By the way, I just wanted to mention here, when we had Kevin Randall on for After the Paracast, we talked about this a little bit, and he said victims is not at all a certain conclusion.
I need to get Ron to go ahead and publish his. He had this one image that shows everybody's different version of what they were able to glean from that. And then he comes up with a composite one that shows where everybody agrees. And it would be interesting for folks to see that, because quite a lot of very, very, I think, talented photographic analysis has already been brought to bear on that memo. And a lot of people don't realize that there's been several efforts, independent of one another, that have attempted to do that. And Ron is the only person I've seen that's attempted to put all that together and show commonalities. And I think that that's an area of reviewing a case, going back to a case, as we were discussing. This is one of those types of an example of that type of effort that we may be able to do with other cases, especially more recent cases like Rendlesham, where there's quite a number of people that are still around that could have interesting information that maybe was taken out of context or not really reviewed properly. And Jan, you're right. When you think about it, there is very little footage from that time period at Rendlesham that has been made publicly available, and there's got to be more.
Well, and I was also thinking, just all the researchers who've touched this case, Linda Moulton Howe and others, you would think there'd be a documentary on the, I thought there was. I went looking for it, and I couldn't find it. It just seems like such a good case.
Yeah.
With very credible witnesses on a military base with documentation, you would think that we'd have something.
Jan Harzan, please tell our listeners where we can find more of the stuff that you do.
You can find it on MUFON.com, our website, or call us here at MUFON headquarters, 949-476-8366. We'd love to have you on board.
You can also find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Look for two official, can there be any other kind, Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. One is a community, one is a group, and you can decide which one you like. Pick your own poison, as some might say. We have a second radio show. We have a second radio show that enhances the Paracast. It's called After the Paracast. It can be color commentary. It could be extended interviews like we've done with Paul Kimball and John B. Alexander and Micah Hanks and Kevin Randall and others. It can be also really special interviews like Monty Shriver, someone who lived in Aztec, New Mexico in 1948 and can assert that nothing happened there. No UFO crash occurred. All this and more if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. That's P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. We have low subscription rates. Check it out. Jan Harzan, thank you for joining us in the Paracast.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.